Welcome to Inside the Draft, a weekly preview of the upcoming NFL Draft with insiders from around the country.
Welcome to Inside the Draft. I'm Jeffrey Gorman with Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. Casey Vallier also here. We're at the Indiana Construction Industry Studios. Boys, April 25th, first round of the draft is coming up. We're going to be out at Topgolf with coverage on that.
That's right. 1 week from today, the draft is here, April 25th. And Thursday coverage on our flagship station in Indianapolis, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. It's going to be streaming on Colts.com. and the Colts mobile app as well. But the coverage is going to begin, Jeffrey, at 7 o'clock with kind of a pre-draft ramp-up for an hour with Rick Venturi and Casey Vallier in studio here as well, myself. We're going to fire it up at 8 o'clock with all the first-round pick-by-pick coverage.
And,
man.
Casey, Matt and I are going to take some golf swings out of Top Golf on commercial breaks. You're not.
That's what I was about to say.
You're here. You're stuck.
Matt, you realize we have Jeffrey at a place where there's golf going on.
I'm actually going to work on my putting that night.
I'm bringing the clubs, boys.
I'm a little worried about Jeffrey being on the show because Jeffrey may be in one of the bays.
I go to Topgolf to work on my short game.
A bucket of balls ready to go. What number are we on? Hold on.
Jeffrey, we're on 12.
Hurry back here. Oh, it's going to be great. Topgolf.
Longest drive with Jeffrey Gorman.
Let's go, man. Again, April 25th, our coverage starts at 7 p.m. The draft starts at 8 on Friday. The following day, our draft coverage starts at 7 p.m. Let's talk some draft now from Pro Football Focus. We talked to Max Chadwick, one of the best in the business. Hey, Max, how many quarterbacks go off the board in the first round before the Colts pick at 15?
Oh, good question. And you guys are in a kind of lucky spot where, you know, you have your franchise guy in Anthony Richardson. I think there's a chance that we get definitely at least four. I think there's a guarantee that you're going to get Caleb Williams, obviously, going number one. Jaden Daniels most likely going number two. And then Drake May probably going number three. And then probably JJ McCarthy going in the top five with someone trading up to get him. So I think those four are a lock. After that, I could see as many as six with Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. being the other two going potentially to the Broncos and Raiders. So I'm going to say five right now. I'm going to go in between that. Say there's five. I don't know if we get all six before the top 50, before the Colts pick at 15. But I do think it's a possibility. But if I had to make a prediction right now, I'd probably say five total before the Colts pick at 15 there.
Now, as we kind of prefaced earlier, we don't need a quarterback here in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson in place. But one last quarterback question. Caleb Williams has been kind of that shiny guy for the last 2 years, arguably would have been a first overall pick last year had he been eligible. And he goes in this year, looks like foregone conclusion, he's going to Chicago. Drake May was the guy that, you know, was kind of pushing those reins heading into the college football season. And now Jaden Daniels appears to be a guy who might have top Drake May. What happened to Drake May, and why are the thoughts on him so boom or bust? Like, there's no in between, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah, and that's honestly, I can't really answer it because I'm in this boat too, where I'm saying I still think Drake May is pretty clearly the number two guy in this draft, and honestly, he'd be the easy number one pick for me in any other draft when you don't have a all-time quarterback prospect like Caleb Williams. Like, I think Caleb Williams is like right below Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck in terms of the best quarterback prospects we've seen in the last decade and a half, probably. So I really think Caleb's that special. But, yeah, I think Drake is right there behind him as well. So I still take it number two. He really elevated the supporting cast at North Carolina, which you know, right. A lot of these other guys in this quarterback class had elite supporting cast. I mean, look at what JJ McCarthy had at Michigan. You look at what Jaden Daniels had at LSU, throwing to two first-round receivers and Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. Michael Penix Jr. had an elite supporting cast, both offensive line, coaching, and receivers. So, you look at all that, and Drake May really elevated that. He had 90-plus PFF grades in each of the last 2 years. Now, listen, when you're watching his tape, there are some head-scratching misses that you see, and you're like, why did he just miss that easy ball right there? But, you know, it comes and goes, honestly, and he has some really good arm talent. He does hit some unbelievable throws. You got to get rid of the head-scratching misses, like I said. But I still think his floor is a lot higher than people give him credit for, and I've seen some quotes saying, you know, he's the kind of guy that gets a GM fired.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true, but I think it's not in the way that people are saying. I think it's more likely that he gets a GM fired by not taking him in the NFL draft than by actually selecting him. So I like Drake May a lot, and I still, if I'm the Commanders at two, I'm still taking Drake May and not thinking twice about it.
Max, let's talk about the Colts. As you know, they are traditionally a team that doesn't trade up in the first round. It's been done before in terms of the totality of the draft. If they were to trade up from 15, who are some players that are worthy of a trade-up, right? Say somewhere in that 7, 8, 9 range of the first round. Someone that the Colts could get that definitely won't be there at 15 that kind of fits
what they're in need of?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if you're trading up, I would most likely assume it's for a receiver in this class. I know you just signed Michael Pittman Jr., you got Josh Downs there as well, but I think it's pretty much a guarantee that the top three receivers in the draft of Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze are not going to be there at number 15 overall. So if there were, if they were to trade up, which I highly, highly doubt will happen, because I just don't think they need to, and like you said, they don't really have a history of doing that either. But if they were to do that, I would assume it's going to be for one of those three receivers, and you probably have to trade up into the top 10 in order to do so. And then the other guy I would probably throw out there is another guy they could potentially trade up for is Brock Bowers, who also just might be there at 15 anyways. But if you really want to lock him in, get him there with Shane, Anthony Richardson there and Shane Steichen. I just think you probably have to trade up ahead of the New York Jets at number 10, because I think that's the first team that could really take Brock Bowers. So if you probably just trade up to 9 or earlier in order to secure Brock Bowers. But like you said, I don't see that happening for the Colts. I think they got a bigger need on this roster. They can get it at number 15. So I think they're probably going to stick at where they are and take the best probably defensive back available, in my opinion.
Follow him on Twitter, X, at Max Chadwick, CFB. Max, obviously the Colts angle here is everything with that 15th pick. There's some offensive tackles out there, and people are scratching their head. Hey, best player available, maybe one of those offensive tackles in the interior, right in the heart of that NFL upcoming draft at that 15. Is there an abundance of talent at the offensive tackle position this year that people aren't talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is probably one of the strongest positions in the draft, if not the strongest right now. It's one of the best tackle classes I can remember, honestly. So, yeah, I think, you know, that's another area the Colts could look at. I don't necessarily think it's as big of a need as other positions that they might target at number 15 overall, because I do like what Bernard Raymond showed last year, and I like Braden Smith a lot, too, at right tackle. So I don't quite think that they need to do that. Maybe they want to go for a tackle that can play a little bit of guard and then eventually play out at tackle. But, yeah, there's a lot of really good tackles in this draft. And I think Joe Alt is going to be gone probably to your division rival, Tennessee Titans, at number 7. But after that, I think Olufashinu from Penn State, Talisa Fuanga from Oregon State, those are the next guys I would look at as the next top tackles in the draft. And there's a chance that one or both of them is available at number 15 overall. So I think that those two are probably the next options I would look at in this tackle class.
Now, you talk about defensive back there for the Colts as a potential need at 15. That's definitely a position we have seen a lot of mock drafts, you know, whether that's Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. But one of the guys I want to talk about is Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. And with the new kickoff rule and his versatility of playing, you kind of multiple spots on this in the secondary, but then also that return aspect, what does that do for his draft stock as you look at the, you know, where he's going to go in the first round?
Yeah, I think it really helps, honestly. I think he's a really versatile player. And honestly, it's funny that you said that, because in my mock draft, I had Cooper DeJean going to the Colts at 15. And I think that's one of my favorite player-to-team fits in this draft. Now, I know some people think Terrion Arnold and Quinion Mitchell are better prospects. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that. I think DeJean might be a little bit worse than Quinion Mitchell. But in terms of the scheme fit, I mean, the Colts ran zone coverage last year on over 76% of their defensive plays, which was over 8% higher than any other team in the NFL. Cooper DeJean thrives in zone coverage, honestly. So I think he's a guy that really, really would fit Gus Bradley's defense really well. And not only that, I mean, they could use help at corner. They could use help a little bit at safety, too. I think he's a versatile player. He could play almost anywhere in the defensive backfield and make an impact. And like you said, he also is a great returner as well, which could really help out the Colts. So I think Cooper DeJean, I don't know if the Colts will actually pull the trigger on him at number 15. I think it's more likely they go after a guy, like you said, like Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. And not necessarily like I don't like those fits, but I just think Cooper DeJean's fit in Indianapolis is honestly pretty perfect with how much zone coverage you guys play and how much he thrives in zone coverage. So I love that fit.
Max, zone coverage of a team that's 28th in the league giving up points the last 2 years isn't the elixir. I don't know if that's the question or the answer for that matter. It's another way to look at this question, too. If they you know, bump down to maybe 55% rather than 80%, we got a different player in there. Any thoughts?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that's something that you have to ask Gus Bradley if he's willing to completely change his defensive mindset, because I know he's a guy that loves zone coverage, and obviously he ran it at by far the highest rate in the league last year. So that's why I kind of thought Cooper is going to be a great fit, just because you know, if he's going to stick to his guns, run the defense he's been running forever, that's the corner I would look at and say, okay, that's the guy I want. And not to say Cooper DeJean can't play man coverage. I think he definitely can. He hasn't really played a lot of press coverage in his Iowa career, but he has played some man. He's looked really good in man coverage. And I still think he can play press coverage. It's more of that he just hasn't really done it yet. So I think he's a versatile corner. I'm not just saying Cooper DeJean's only a zone corner, but I do think when you see him in zone coverage, that's when his IQ really shines and his athleticism really shines. That's why I thought, you know, his fit in Gus Bradley's defense is honestly perfect. And I think that's the guy that I would, if I'm the Colts fan, I would want them to target Cooper DeJean with a number 15 overall pick right now.
All right, Max, let's pretend like you're Ed Dodds or, you know, Todd Vasfari, some of these high-ranking scouts and personnel people. You're the right-hand man of Chris Ballard on draft night. All right, you've got Jared Verse, you've got Quinyon Mitchell, and you've got Brian Thomas, all still on the board.
Ooh.
At pick number 15. What are you doing right there, Max? What are you telling Chris Ballard to do with that scenario?
Yeah, I guess, you know, if it's not Cooper DeJean, I'd probably say Quinyon Mitchell. That's probably the guy I would go with out of those three players for the Colts, at least. I think Mitchell, he's been the highest graded corner for PFF in each of the past two seasons. He is excellent in off coverage. And again, I think that would fit in Gus Bradley's defense really, really well. And then also, I think Quinyon Mitchell might have had the best pre-draft process of any player in this entire draft, honestly. I mean, he went out in the Senior Bowl. He was excellent at the Senior Bowl. That's kind of a big question. Was like, okay, you know, he dominated Toledo in MAC competition. How will he look against elite competition? Also, how will he look in press coverage? Because he never played press coverage at Toledo, really. It was really almost exclusively an off-coverage corner. And he dominated at the Senior Bowl. So he kind of answered a lot of questions there, and it kind of emerged as his first-round corner. Then he went out of the Combine, and he tested out as the most athletic corner at the Combine as well. So this is a guy who was looked at as a day-two pick after the season. Now, all of a sudden, we're looking at him as a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. So I think Quinyon Mitchell's stock has really seen a bigger boom than almost any other prospect in this draft, probably more than any other prospect in this draft. So like I said, I think that's the biggest need for the Colts right now is that corner.
Right.
So I think Quinyon Mitchell, I think he fits the defense, he fits the biggest need, and he's a value pick there at 15. I think that's the guy I'd probably go with out of those.
And by the way, Max, congratulations on your promotion within the Colts brass. That was awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Well deserved,
Max,
too, by you.
Got the corner office.
Yeah, I can use it.
Now, I want to kind of piggyback off what you just said there with the Colts. Of the last year, they drafted three corners. So when you look at that room, it's a very young room. Is there any concern about having too much youth if the Colts do choose to go there at 15? You look at that, you pair that up with Juju Brents. I know Dallas Flowers coming off the Achilles, but then also Jalen Jones. You got Kenny Moore there as a veteran, but is there at all any concern with too much youth at that spot?
I think that could be a concern. Obviously, you know, you want to have some experience there, and I think that's why bringing back Kenny Moore is such a huge win for the Colts this offseason to help out that cornerback room.
Right.
I'm not really worried about that. I'm more worried about just getting talent in there. And don't get me wrong, I like Juju Brents and I like Dallas Flowers, but I just don't know if you want to say that those are your starting outside corners long term. I think you need to be spending high premium picks on corner, which is probably the most important position on defense right now with how much the game has evolved into a passing game. I would say corner is super important. So, like I said, I like Juju Brents. I like Dallas Flowers. I like them more as kind of like depth pieces, whereas maybe one of them, maybe Juju Brents, can be one of your starting outside corners or Dallas Flowers. I'd want the other one to be, you know, a guy that you spend a high premium pick on and hope can turn into one of the top corners in the league. So that's why, again, I like them. I just think you got to get more talent in that room. Because of how important the position is. And that's why I think spending the 15th overall pick on one of these corners in this draft, whether it be Cooper DeJean, whether it be Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, that's the way I would go if I was Chris Ballard and the Colts.
Again, follow him on Twitter X at Max Chadwick, CFB. Max, I mean, no disrespect here, but it's safe to say you're kind of a football nerd, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, that leads me to this question. You have an unbelievable follow on ProFootballFocus.com. When you're talking about the 2024 NFL draft, if all college players were eligible, and that means a lot of the juniors or sophomores that aren't eligible coming out, et cetera, or freshmen for that matter, would this first round of this draft look completely different if everyone was eligible as far as the players that are coming up next year?
It actually would, and actually, we put out on my show, the PFF College Football Show, my buddy Dalton Lawson, we actually put out a video doing the first-round mock draft, and that actually is going to turn into an article that's coming out on Friday for anyone who's interested on PFF.com, so make sure you check it out then. But yeah, it actually would look a lot different, honestly. You look at it right now, I think our first seven picks were 2024 prospects because of how good this class is, but after that, you start to see a lot of 2025 and 2026 guys even fly off the board. So I think the Colts, we ended up having Brock Bowers be the pick for them at 15 overall. So I love that fit as well. If he somehow falls to 15, I think I would maybe even prioritize Brock Bowers more than any corner in this draft if he does fall there. But, yeah, it was a really fun exercise just to see. You know, I think it's fun to see, okay, how good is this class compared to the next two classes? And what are the strengths of next year's classes? Who are the guys to know in the next classes? I think that's, again, it's going to look dumb a couple years from now when we're like, oh, how did you miss that guy? How did you put that guy so high? But I think it's a fun exercise to do, just kind of, you know, look ahead to the 2025 and even 2026 NFL draft. Right,
and Max, this is kind of a deep one for me. The Colts are a team, you know, on day three of the draft, that they always seem to kind of unearth an FCS player or a small school player late in the draft. I mean, last couple of years you got Rodney Thomas from Yale. I know he's not an FCS guy, but you've got, you know, Titus Leo and Jake Witt. Who are some FCS guys that are kind of on your radar going into this draft that might be picked up on Saturday?
Yeah, good question. I think one of them that I really like and even could be a fit for the Colts if they need some help on the interior offensive line, like I said before, is Mason McCormick from South Dakota State. This is the guy who just he looks to kill every time he's out there, honestly. He's a dominant guard for South Dakota State, and he really has been a terrific run blocker for them as well. So he's probably the first guy, I would say. Kieran Omegadiji, hopefully I'm saying that right, the offensive tackle from Yale. I think he actually is going to be a second-round pick in the draft, so I don't know if day three is really where I think for him. But Jalix Hunt, the edge defender from Houston Christian, another guy I really like, could be a third-round pick. Isaiah Davis, another running back from South Dakota State as well. There's some really good FCS talent. It's actually a really, really good FCS draft this year. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be a couple guys that you see on day two even of the NFL draft that you might not even think of. So Jalix Hunt is probably the guy I would look at first as maybe the biggest sleeper, because I think he's worthy of being maybe a day two pick in the draft, but I think he's probably going to end up going in the fifth or sixth round, honestly. So Jalix Hunt, the edge defender from Houston Christian, is probably the first guy that I would look at right now.
PFF.com, you can find Max Chadwick also on the PFF College Football Show. I love this story. You came to PFF in June of 2021 as a social media intern, and look at you now, Chadwick. You're sitting at the big table. How about that? I'm clapping right there. Good for you.
I'm living the dream right now. I am living the dream, yeah.
Good for you. Well, keep up the great work, man. And obviously, I mean that with love, and being a football nerd, but I love every angle you bring into the upcoming draft and prospects that are coming out. So, Max, keep up the great work. And fans, once again, follow him at Max Chadwick, CFB. Appreciate the time today.
Of course. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey Max, I got to ask you one more before I let you go. Jeffrey's going to throw his computer at me, so I apologize.
You're fine.
All right? I know you're a college football guy. Just give me a yes or no and maybe a quick synopsis here, Max. Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. Is he going to work? What's your gut say? Come on now.
I kind of love the hire. I'm not going to lie. I kind of love it. I think he did excellent stuff at James Madison, and I think he's a guy that, coming into Indiana, I loved him saying at the Big Ten Championship game right after he's hired, he's like, oh, yeah, we'll be here next year. Now, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
But I do think he's a guy that he's doing really well. I think he's got some really good transfers coming in as well. I think, dude, this Indiana program's on the up and up right now. I'm not going to say they're going to turn around immediately, but I do think that he's going to do a pretty good job at Indiana. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of that hire.
All right. The arrow is up, yeah. Jeffrey.
And by the way, you don't know what you did. People driving around listening at home. Everybody got excited here in the Heartland. Finally, a good man in charge of IU football. Max, great stuff as usual, man. Keep up the great work. And, again, follow him at Max Chadwick, CFB. Appreciate the time today.
Of course. Thank you, guys.